Craig.
LaCroix. Drink of champions.
Oh, yeah.
As the French would say.
I have the microphone turned up on Audacity to almost max, and it still seems like it's pretty low, but we'll see what happens. And I am using the right microphone this time.
Huh.
Microphone.
Okay. Well, whatever. You know, we make do. It's not.
Yeah.
As long as it gets something, I guess. That's what we go with. That's how we do it. You're in Viet fucking Nam.
It's pronounced Viet Nam, son. Like, I've watched all the movies. Tubuku.
I've seen the films.
Tubuku.
Vietnam. Yeah, cool.
Craig,
Vietnam. Le Hua.
Le Hua.
This is how to speak proper French. With Is It Worse Than 311?
Worse than
311. What? Do you like any croissant?
So, what's up? What's up, guys? What are you doing? What now? This guy. Okay, this is still Is It Worse Than 311.
Yeah.
I think Robert just went to take a shit. He had that look on his face when he pulled those headphones off. He's like, oh no, me and my Frontier French. Ruckus shirt. My Frontier Ruckus shirt got to go fucking blast one out real quick.
That's right, dude.
Bill Maher's got to rub one out before a show.
Oh, God, that man is the worst.
Who?
What'd you Bill say? Bill Maher. William Maher.
There was an admittance that he rubs one out before his show.
On his podcast? On his late night podcast where he just rants at people?
No, this was his TV show.
Oh, he said it on his TV show, huh?
No, I think it was a guest or I forget where it came from, but it's been a little bit. It was pertaining to his TV show that he would apparently rub one out before getting on camera.
Okay, but he didn't say this. Someone else was like, I know this about him, like a producer or something. Okay, I thought that he had said it, and I was like, on his show? That's wild. He doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would let someone know that because he's such a pretentious goober. And he's not smart. He's so dumb and unfunny.
It also kind of seems like something he might say trying to be, like, funny.
Edgy.
Right, like, look how sex positive I am. I rub one out before every show. And then it's like, Bill, I watched your show. You're rubbing one out on the show.
Right now.
Fuck off. Yeah, dude. You don't know. You're just fucking sitting there stroking yourself the whole goddamn time looking like a fucking monkey at a goddamn zoo throwing shit at people.
The smug faces he makes at the camera, and he's just like, he's always laughing at his own jokes, and it's like, dude, these jokes are so basic, like they're terrible. You didn't do any research for this.
I mean, to be fair, I'm my favorite like funny person too.
Yeah, but you're not Bill Maher.
Yeah, it's true.
That's pretty cool. No, yeah,
they got that cool for me, which is nice.
Yeah.
I mean, but Bill Maher's humor relies on smart, though. Like, you're supposed to assume he's intelligent and, like, knows a lot of things. So the fact that he, like, delivers information in the way that he does is, like, you're not even saying something thoughtful or intelligent, but you're supposed to be those things is so frustrating about him. And then he smiles at himself and is like, I'm the best. Like, laughing at your own jokes, I mean, if it's the joke is good, laugh at your own fucking joke, you know? But, like, his jokes aren't, so...
Yeah. So anyways, this is still Is It Worse Than 311, where we're going to do a movie night instead of talking about Bill Maher, because I'm frustrated just thinking about the guy. Just woof. Remember when he used to, like, almost be, like, lefty, kind of funny, and like, it stopped real quick and just kind of became, like, ew. like angry, edgy, boomer type shit.
Like, yeah, angry, yeah. Cancel culture jokes for the last 20 years.
So instead, let's talk about Repo Man.
Repo Man.
Repo. What? It's the best fucking theme song ever. Icky Pop. Repo, 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 Repo Man, Repo Man, Repo, Repo. What are you doing, dude?
Making the greatest theme song ever. Duh.
So we're talking about this movie because it's we're reviewing Jimmy Buffett later this month, right, guys?
Jimmy Buffet?
Mm. Why you just mmm? Was it mmm? Mmm. Mm. That's all you got?
I'm 17 albums in. I have had my fill of the buffet.
Perry, what's wrong with this guy? It's like, somebody get this dude to fucking Margaritaville quick. Get him a cheeseburger in Paradise.
Two margaritas in his hands, stat, with a cheeseburger from Paradise.
Calm down there, all right? Man, buddy. Jeez, don't worry. We'll be to the Bahamas soon.
You'll see that blonde stranger sometime soon.
As long as we're on to island time eating the last mango in Paris, I'll be fine, guys.
Yeah, dude, just slip on some flip-flops.
Oh, but they blew out, remember?
Yeah, don't step on my pop rock.
Why don't we have a Flora day, okay? Like, that's what we should be doing. Relaxing with a cocoa
nut. Jimmy fucking Buffett is in the movie Repo Man, and I can't think of another musical fucking cameo to be out of place than Jimmy Buffett.
Why? Like, he must have just known somebody that did it. Especially because this show was done with such, like, a quote-unquote shoestring budget for the 80s and everything. So it's pretty crazy to just get Jimmy Buffett popping in going, hey, happy face.
He's an FBI, like, spook or whatever. It's
I
like,
guess.
That's a memorable moment, too, in the film.
Aren't they, like, working for, like, the priest guy? I thought they were supposed to be like government, but
that's what I'm saying. Like, is he? Because like, who the fuck just rolls up on someone and says, hey, happy face, need a ride when they're detaining him? Like, oh, that's like some like creepy fucking sex trafficking or fucking mobster fucking bullshit.
Oh,
that's
my
not
God.
If FBI rolls up and they're like, FBI, you have to get in the fucking car. You know,
Those are two great car interactions. The other one's with Harry Dean Stanton and Emilio Estevez, where he's like, hey, kid, you want to make $10? He's like, fuck off, queer.
Oh, my God.
Like, oh, God.
At least that one is dated as the fucking freight. Like, that one makes sense, you know, because, like, that guy's trying to con him into doing something.
And that time, yeah.
The other one's like, why is Jimmy Buffett this fucking aviator's glasses wearing fucking agent of some unidentified fucking organization kidnapping this woman that knows are they with the aliens? Are they with the government? Are they the
right.
Where'd the religious people come? So this movie fucking just takes leaps and bounds right from the beginning. There is like all sorts of fucking errors with continuity and shit and why are things happening in this movie when they're happening is a question that comes up often. You're
like,
just
why was he wearing the conical hat at one point?
I don't know. What?
And then loses it when he gets off the bus and like that's it.
and things happen like when he goes to repossess the car and he gets beat up. And then like a few scenes later, all of a sudden he's just like at a location and they're like talking about Clint Eastwood or fucking the other asshole, not Clint Eastwood, the real asshole, the fucking
John Wayne,
that shithead cowboy dude, for no reason, but they're demanding that but there was a bunch of stuff in between and there was no context for how they got there or how they wound up back. Like, you just cut scene ends and now you're here. And I don't know why, but it kind of fits in, so it works.
Right? He'd been cleaned up from getting beaten up earlier, too, like two or three scenes earlier. Like, he got beat up, they cleaned him up, and then things happened, and then it came to that scene, they're like, who beat you up? And he sent him after the guy in the beginning, which, like, it didn't seem like he cared much about that character or that job at all. Like, it didn't even have any stakes, and then they show up at the dude's house that fired him in the beginning. It's like, I mean, yeah. The
like, I bet you forgot like about this disjointed. Dude.
Yeah, I did. I had forgotten about him. It just seemed like the reason to get him repoing or whatever.
Because
like,
the only thing that we saw from that guy was he was pretty much completely dismissed as a character in general, right? He showed up, he kind of complained for a second, and then the only line that he gave him was, fuck you. Yeah, like, okay. That's our... And then he left, and the cop pulled his gun. Not even the cop, security guy pulled his gun. Okay, sure.
That movie felt like a classic 80s low budget Hollywood film. Like, I've seen a few other ones where it's like the camp is so, I know it's low budget and that's why it's campy, but it's also just like written in a funny way, so it's so campy, and like the effects of like opening the trunk of the car and like flashing light and it's like a, you know, X-ray skeleton.
Is it like a drawing? Boots.
Dude, there's some legit comedy in here. Like, when he goes, he lifts up the chair and he's going to, like, smash it on the guy. And the guy's like, wait, no, not my face. And he's like, oh. And then he, like, drops the chair and it lands. And he's like, ah, my face.
That's like, pretty good. Like, completely off scene. Like, off screen. Exactly. Like, not even. Yeah.
Oh, the ADR in this movie is just atrocious, too. There's so many scenes where they're, like, not even, like, no mouths moving. And they have ADR for that character.
Yeah. Or like some of the explanation of what's even happening. Like there's a scene where they're moving a body off the sidewalk that I guess has maybe died from radiation poisoning because it's the guys suits. And there's like an overdub, like a vocal overdub being like, oh, he hasn't been dead too long. We're just picking him up, moving him in here. It's like, yeah, you are, but what the fuck? Why? Who is that?
They did that at the beginning when the county sheriff at the scene where the one guy blew up, and you just hear him all like, oh, there's a piece of leg over here. Or, nope, testicles. Nope, they're gone. Oh, God, whatever happened to this?
And it's like, people just blow up. That's what happened.
Yeah. It's
like, what?
Sometimes people just blow up.
Yeah, or people explode, I mean, whatever.
This movie is going to be solid, like things like that.
I think that this movie is like, if you take it at all seriously, it doesn't make a lick of sense. I mean, the woman with the metal hand is like the head of whatever agency this is, which could be the aliens or could be the government or who knows what it is. But also maybe it has something to do with the diuretics book where it's like, you know, actualizing your thoughts. And there's like a combination against the Bible thing in the beginning where his family all of a sudden has joined the like televangelist cult, which is unnecessary information, except that they bring the character back with the Bible to go to the car. But he's not a part of that agency as far as I can understand from that scene. But maybe he is, but probably not, because he's like, oh, no, this isn't going to work for the church, and moves off or whatever. And then the agents come back in. It's like, What is anyone and who is anyone? Like, it absolutely feels like it doesn't matter what any character is. Like, even the punks who in the beginning are at the party and then are murdering and rampaging through the town is like a through line. Like, who are these characters? Like, I just kept asking myself, what is the point and who are these characters? Like, I got bored midway through the film. I enjoyed all of it, don't get me wrong, but like in terms of story, I was trying to make sense of it. I was like, man, dude, in the 1980s, LA did not care if you had a storyline. Like, it does not matter.
It's kind of like that movie Jubilee, but if that movie
had
almost tried to have more of a plot, and that plot just so happened to be repo men trying to find a car with maybe the body of a radioactive alien in the trunk.
Yeah, like
I'm not sure.
I think that's the closest we get. I mean, it feels like it's closer than what we get from like Pulp Fiction or something, when with the glowing object of what the fuck is in there. But
like, one of the people in like one of the agencies that we encounter in this movie, one of the several several groups that are trying to hunt down this car. One of them says something about it being an alien body.
Yeah.
Or aliens in the truck.
Well, stuck,
the girlfriend, right? She took pictures of the dead bodies.
It's not on ice.
Right.
Well, even she mentions to Emilio, she's all like, well, we got to hurt. Like, we can't take long because it's not on ice. It's going to decompose.
And, you know, as someone who knows what decomposition is like, not for an alien, but for a thing, like, what's happening in that trunk doesn't make any sense. And so that's why you can be like, okay, that's why it's happening. And, like, yeah, that's the story. Sure. Like, you guys got it. I feel like you're right. I agree with you. But is it the story?
Well, no.
Like, there's so many there's so many separate little fucking strands. They tried to do so many things. And the fact that it works as well as it does, because I think it still does work. Like, functionally, each scene continues to return to Emilio Estevez doing something dumb in a car and like learning, like there's a learning arc of how to repo, but he never really learns because he gets shot at several times and does a bunch of things that like the Harry Stanton character is like, we don't do this as repo men. We don't break into cars. We don't, you know, hotwire. And then he's doing that with other repo men.
Jimmying the door,
So, like, I think that that's actually, that is sort of a commentary about the film. Like, we're telling you something and then giving you the other thing. You know, like, here's our hand and then they slap you. Because, like, it never is the thing they say it is. Well, so, like, you're watching the movie and seeing something that isn't what they're telling you you're seeing. Which I think is actually a plot device that shouldn't work, but because it was done the way it was and in the lack of continuity really makes the film sort of stick and feel, like, memorable.
Well,
if that makes sense.
There's like with that in mind, there's also if you examine the characters just as a juxtaposition to that point or to add to that point, I suppose, every single character in this fucking movie and every group of character, every type of character is a bumbling fucking jackass. There's not a good character, like as far as somebody that is a stand up OK person. The closest that we might get is the fucking jackass singing the 7-Up song. with the glasses and ends up working at the Kevin. Gas station. He might be the most wholesome character in this whole fucking
movie.
My boy
Kevin, man.
But like right when they introduce what's Emilio Estevez's guy's
Otto.
Like Otto. You first meet him, he's a fucking dick. For no fuck, like an over the top dick for no fucking reason to everybody. Every single fucking person. Even when his buddy gets out of jail. His buddy's like, you never came and saw me when I was in jail, you know, and his buddy bangs his girlfriend, and instead of doing it, he just leaves and starts singing fucking Black Flag lyrics.
And leaves a six-pack behind, at least three beers.
What was that about?
I don't know.
What was that madness?
That was really, the part that he sang was the hilarious part in that song where they're just yelling out television names.
Well,
so, like,
was,
if anybody that doesn't know anything about Black Flag just sees this guy screaming television. I know the song's in the fucking movie, I'm pretty sure. But still, like, it's funny. That's fucking hilarious, Emilio Estevez. What are you doing? But the guy's not, you know, he's fucking an asshole. And then when he goes and finds, when he gets conned into a fucking job as a repo man, even when he shows up and he sees he's with a bunch of repo men, he fucking calls them all assholes, and he's like, I'm not going to be a fucking repo man. Fuck
pours
no.
The beer out, dude.
Yeah, and all these repo men are these fucking John Wayne-loving, like, hard-ass, homophobic, fucking stupid, drunken, like, drunk on the fucking job assholes, right? Like, they're like an older generation that like, the punks, that's the group that supposedly Emilio Estevez comes from, even though he's always wearing like a button-up shirt and some fucking slacks, which is
the plaid. I was is this the 90s already?
What
man?
The fuck? Then they show the punks, you know, and like, sure, the one punk, he was in jail, he gets out, he takes the other dude's girlfriend. That's not always a good sign of character. And then the next time we see him, for some reason, he's robbing things, and you know, they're out just, you know, gonna do crimes. Like ordering sushi. Let's get sushi and not pay. Yeah, all right, cool.
Hey,
but they show up doing real shit, too. Like, crimes. Like, breaking into pharmacies and shooting people and shit.
Yeah, there were some insane scenes.
And he dies. And he's just like, we're white suburban kids or whatever.
Yeah, he says we're
white
suburban
punks. Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah.
And he tells him he's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. He's like, no, dude, you got like blasted. Hard to tell.
He's like, you're going to be okay.
He got shot through his chest two different times from two different directions. Like, get out of here. He got shot through like a shotgun and a like giant pistol. No way, dude.
My favorite part in that scene is the girlfriend thing. Throws Emilio West a bag of a mess bag of popcorn. A bag of popcorn. Yeah, I can't even say it fucking right. And like, why'd you do that? He didn't need that, and it wasn't like intimidating. It was almost like you're like, hey, popcorn's pretty good though, right? Here you. I was gonna shoot you, but instead,
my assumption was to keep him occupied while she would leave. You know, because most people.
Yeah, but it's not like she was
like stupid. Yeah, exactly. I'm not saying that that's the best answer, but that's what I came away with it.
Well, and also, wasn't he scared she was going to
get... Repo wife?
Yeah.
Sorry,
I was going to... Repo wife.
You mean disturbing. The... You mean the not-sequel sequel Repo Chick from 2009 or something like that? No, there's a movie.
Is there? I know it was a graphic novel.
He almost got sued because he was not, like him and Universal both had a contractual agreement that there wouldn't be a sequel.
So how does Repo Men play into all this then?
Repo Men was renamed from another movie once they figured out that Alex, what's his name, that made this movie fucking made Repo Chick. Which also has a bunch of people from the original movie, a bunch of actors in the from the original movie doing different roles. So once they found that out and they were threatening to sue him, then they decided to change one of their movies to the name Repo Man in order to kind of downplay the release of Repo Chick. Even though I'll tell you right now, nobody's fucking going to watch a movie called Repo Chick anyway. There's a very select amount, like, the people that are 2009? Going to see that. Yeah, no, those are the people that know what Repo Man is and know that this is the same guy that made it. So they're going to check it out for a laugh. That shit's coming out straight to DVD. Universal Pictures does not need to worry about a movie called Repo Chick. A rehashing of a fucking old idea 40 years later. I wonder if they got Iggy Pop in there doing the theme song again. Repo, 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 chick, repo, chick, chick, repo, repo.
Was there any, like, what the hell is up with the air fresheners?
I didn't know there was air fresheners. Tell me about the air fresheners, Perry.
Like, literally the one guy even hands him to the air freshener, and he's like, you'll see this in, like, every car. Just wait and see. And then, like, multiple scenes, there's an air freshener. Like, one on a doorknob. One on the motorcycle.
That was weird.
The one on the motorcycle cop's bike, like when he's like talking about testicles missing, like that's the frame that it starts on. And like, it's just like, I didn't see any answer to it. There wasn't any like.
Dude, like, there's an obvious answer. Aliens.
It's aliens, bro.
It's the whole movie.
I know.
It's like Scientologist. Aliens.
Aliens.
Probably, you know, some Scientology aliens. Probably. L. Ron Hubbard. Why is there so much fucking... That's the other thing all the Repo Men are fucking obsessed with. It's L. Ron Hubbard.
Well, because, yeah, that's...
And Dianetics.
Like pre, well, I don't want to say pre, but it's definitely bigger than at a time before Scientology was probably really big, right? Like,
it's probably you know, it's like... Early stages of it developing.
Well, that was his whole shtick. He even had things saying, like, if you wanted to make a shit ton of money, make a religion. So, I mean...
Wait, so that was that was actually an L. Ron Hubbard book? It wasn't, like, just some sort of in-world joke about something?
No. That's considered book one of Scientology.
Oh my god! I didn't even realize
it describes all of the like all the ideas basically like you know how they measure like Scientologists measure your I don't know what fucking
your
midichlorian
basically fucking that'd be better right at least
they see how in tune with the force you are and shit like that like that's so all they have, introduced
it's like a fucking weird object that they bring in for you you have to put your like, hands on it or some
yeah.
shit like,
yeah I think so. Yeah. I'm not fucking with them. Those
by
X
Rum by X Rum Bubba says the book on, but that it's supposed to be the basis of. Okay, well, because it's a satire, so it's making fun of that, huh? I did not realize that. I was just like, and everyone's talking about it for some reason, but the religious overtones are all over this movie.
So well, they show it though too. It goes into a fucking into a barrel of fire.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. When yeah. Yeah. All that I'm looking shit, at yeah. a picture of it.
Yeah, yep. Nice. Yeah. That scene's fucking God. Hilarious, too. It's the guy that, the weird
what
dude.
What the fuck? The, that guy.
Miller was the character name, I think. Where he said, did you eat a lot of acid, Miller, back in the hippie days?
He just like glossed right over that. And he's like,
I know he didn't answer him.
He's just right back into like time concepts and shit, and you're
how
like,
spaceships are time machines, mm-hmm. and that people
are disappearing
missing.
To the past and the future,
right? But where do those people
they
come
go
from?
To the future. They go back to the past,
right? Yeah. Right, because of aliens.
Aliens, man.
So by the end of this movie, Bud, is that the character's name? The old dude, the Harry D. Stanton.
Yeah, Bud, okay. Harry Dean.
He steals the car for himself, right?
Yeah, he bolts his ass out of the hospital bed.
Right. I
mean, he's been trying to get the $20,000 to change his life or whatever. That's
yeah,
supposed to be something you care about,
yard.
But also like has no continuity and just shows up and disappears and shows up again in the plot.
Even home dude's like, bro, you can't do that on $20,000.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah, I can. Watch me.
And so the car itself begins glowing, which they by the way, there's no real special effects there. They bought 3M iridescent paint and just painted the entire car. It's like $600 a fucking bucket at the time in the 80s. So that's like, you know, a lot. Fuck, that's probably like, you know, a couple thousand now.
Right.
It's glowing, and somehow it becomes in and of itself a spaceship that the Miller character can somehow walk right up to and go into, even though most people are pushed away and lit on fire by the sheer force of
yeah.
this thing.
The invisible force field, as they put it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. It's even setting Bibles on fire because. Again, where the fuck did the religious people come from?
Well, the only
the
tie
beginning
they had,
when they're watching it in TV.
Well, no, there's that, but then they're the only tie after that to connect it to the whole actual plot was that at one point he was on the TV saying, "We are looking for this specific car, a Malibu," like. So he, like, at that time, that's when all of a sudden that TV evangelist thing connects to the actual plot to and, find the Malibu.
And is that the same evangelist that shows up at the end. Because his, the last thing that drove Otto to be the repo man was that his parents were going to give him $1,000 to finish school. And they told him that they gave it to a televangelist to donate, to do something in his name or whatever. That
so they donated it for the three of them so that right. they all would have a spot on the chariots to heaven.
So it is.
You've got a mortgage.
Same.
You've got a car. You don't need
yes,
a car. Sell
you
your
car.
Car. That's the best shit,
it's
dude.
Fucking amazing.
The twin evils of foreign communism uh-huh. and liberal humanism at home is the funniest shit ever. I mean, yep. if it's a satire of the Reagan era, that's like the funniest thing
it's
I've ever heard.
You ain't a commie, are you? I don't want any. I don't want any commies in my car or Christians.
Can we just point out the fact that I would love to do some speed with Harry Dean Stanton?
Oh, like, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Like, just out of nowhere, standing next to a car, just fucking busting rails. Like, thanks, Harry Dean.
I read a thing that during the filming of this movie, he wanted to use a baseball signal to Emilio Estevez's character to, like, motion him to like jump in a car or something like that, right? And the director was like not a sports fan. He was like, I don't want that in my fucking movie, basically. And that Harry Dean Stanton blew up on him and told him that he's worked with some of the greatest people ever, like Francis Ford Coppola and all this shit. And the reason they were greats is because they let him do whatever the fuck he wants. I want to see that. I want the footage of that happening. You know what I mean?
I've seen stuff with Harry Dean Stanton just as a person, and he just seemed like a grumpy-ass old man.
Cool. Like, Anybody that was in Twin Peaks shows up in anything, I'm happy. That's all I got to say.
Can't argue with that.
That's why
Fallout was awesome.
Yeah, yep. Oh, yeah, Fallout was good. Watch Fallout, surprisingly.
Fucking one of the best video game to live TV.
Which is not saying a lot. I mean, I haven't seen
it. It's
not. You know, like, if it's the best, like, the quality is not really there.
It's really good. Well, if you played the games, then you want this.
Yes, because that's usually the issue is when they do these, like, translations, some fucking Hollywood schmuck is like, let's change this part, even though it's like a fucking hardcore part of the game. And you're like, what? You had the source material. Why would you fuck with it? You know, like, what? Why? And they don't. Like, apparently, in Fallout, for sure, they don't. In fact, apparently there was thoughts that they were going to, like, change the actual power armor design. And everybody, like, was given the thing, and they were like, why would we change the power armor design? It's right there. That's what everybody knows.
Yeah, so. I mean, there's still the question if they changed the timeline a little bit.
Well, even one of the guys that worked in, because it doesn't help that when Bethesda bought it, like, they changed things up, but...
help that those games end with multiple endings.
Exactly. There's that side, too. Because there's even one, it's like, oh yeah, all the ending in New Vegas is canon, and then somebody's like, which one? Like, right, all of them?
I think the point was that it didn't matter because in the TV show, by the time the TV show starts, New Vegas has been bombed the fuck out. So no, like, who
New
cares?
I thought it was opposite. New Vegas was going to be the focus of the next one. That's why they actually.
Didn't they? They blew up the city. What was the city that was?
That was Shady.
There we go. That's wiped out.
Yeah, with that standard, anyways, and that's actually right.
And then it shows fucking Coop, Agent Cooper, fucking in power armor, walking off towards the Vegas Strip. Yep. Right. That's the
towards New Vegas.
Right.
Yep.
That's what I meant. That's what I meant though. Yep. That maybe it just meant that it didn't matter because the place that most people are talking about in New Vegas blew up anyway.
Right. But that's Fallout or not Repo Man.
Repo Man's
still
really
dystopian.
Good,
still dystopian.
Yeah. Yeah. And still with the Twin Peaks tie-in.
Yeah.
So we're doing okay. We didn't
and
fall
Dune.
That far.
We could go into Dune at this out. Point too.
We didn't fall that much out. Huh? Fall out.
Hey.
Somebody end this episode.
This is a good movie, and I think that for as many flaws as it has, like, I mean, it's supposed to be funny and it's supposed to be a joke. It's a black comedy, so at the end of the day, like, all the sparse backgrounds, like, everything's empty. Like, even when they're like doing crimes or whatever, like, there's no one around, and like, this is, you know, if this is Reagan America, like, he was supposed to be making everything better. It's the same kind of Trumpian bullshit. He's from a similar playbook, I feel like. And it's just emptiness and trash and punks, and like, nothing's going well for anyone. So, I mean, like, people are getting shot at and their cars are getting repossessed. Like, that's the background of the entire film. I think that it does a good job, even with its like slack, lazy continuity, which probably is the point, you know, in a very real way. I thought the movie was, really interesting to watch. I thought the acting was fun, like, when, like, over the top when it needed to be, and it ends up being like a really worthwhile film to watch. So I'm glad we did it. Like, way to be in a film, Jimmy Buffett, Mr. Why is he in it? I don't know. Like, dude's, like, singing about coconuts and, like, I don't know, being a perv on the street in this movie. Like, it's like, this is a punk rock movie, not, like, a normie-ass. By 1980s, well, Jimmy Buffett is nothing like punk rock, okay?
He does play. What were we going to watch? Oh, yeah. We weren't going to watch. Well, this actually has a music tie-in, too, because we are sort of a music podcast, right? So, like, with the soundtrack that has the Circle Jerks. Circle Jerks are in the fucking movie. The Black Flag, Iggy Pop. Fuck. Oh, could you not hear anything? You just heard. You just missed me talking about the Circle Jerks being in the movie and all the other bands that are.
What band is it when he's like, I used to like these guys?
Like,
oh, yeah.
Dressed like swing dudes. It's like,
yep. It's really good.
It's really, awesome. Really good. Yeah, that part ruled. That music, it's like, it was punk rock music, but it was being played so sweetly and cleanly. It was like.
Like loungy. 50s, yeah.
Yeah, like 50s R&B or something. Like.
Well, that was. I had a few more items too. That was actually one. We never talked about the cubed rain that was just talked about briefly, and then just thrown on the hood, and then shit just dropped in front of the camera.
It's just the ice cubes or whatever, like from Ice Trace. So silly. Yep. That's what radiation does.
Probably the greatest fucking tagline for a movie ever: "The life of a repo man." Is always intense. The way they even said it, like flying off in the radioactive car.
Why did the car turn into a spaceship?
Dead alien in the trunk. It's a classic engine for spaceships. Dead alien is a classic engine for spaceships, dude.
They're like, oh,
just self-actualize, Crowder.
I don't want to say it was aliens, but it was aliens.
And, like, the fact that Otto was the one that got invited to go into the car was like, why? Yeah, why that guy?
The best line ever. What about our relationship? Huh? Our relationship? Fuck that.
Yeah, I'm getting into the glowing radioactive car that sets people on fire. You dumbass!
I forgot about that. That was so beautiful.
He sat through that conversation. That's why he got invited in the car. He sat through that conversation while they were just burning clothes inexplicably under a bridge. So,
I think so too, right? Just
like, why were they at that bridge? I don't know. How did they get there? Nobody told me. I couldn't.
Was it from the repoed cars?
No.
That was my only thing. Was like, was it shit from the repoed cars that they just fucking burned?
You got to make super assumptions there. And additionally, like, that character is introduced at that scene, if I recall. Like, he hasn't been there. Or if he was, he seemed like he was a homeless person, not a repo man. But later on, he ends up being a repo man.
He's in the background, because that's that first time. The first car he repos, he's the guy that pulls out the air freshener. And he's like, you'll find these in, like, every car you repo.
And this whole idea. He does something. Like, he works there or something like that.
But well, he seems like he doesn't.
He seems like a homeless guy.
There's a scene where after they're burning all the shit, there's another scene where it's just literally the scene is just him dragging the burn barrel that he uses like across the frame. That's the shot. And what? You're like, why?
Why and when they do it too, it's like, why did that happen then? Did somebody fuck up when they were editing?
That should have been previous or something, but
apparently
they never even talked about the cash in the car, like it was in those that present.
Oh yeah, that they just threw out of the window and it's just on the ground.
That was just a joke.
I would imagine it's just supposed to be like they don't care what the fuck's in there type of thing.
Right. Except it's he's been to show how
trying to get $20,000 the entire film, so
it's supposed to show how stupid they are, or whatever, careless, you know.
Yep.
Jesus Christ, this movie. This fucking movie.
It isn't worse than 311, amazing. I'll tell you that.
This movie's way better than 311. I know I'm not supposed to say better than that. It's just this fucking 311 can go fucking suck a tailpipe. I don't give a fuck. You hear that, Nick Hexum? Eat it.
Dude, the band in that what he used to like is better than 311. It's not worse than 311.
What band?
The band that he goes and, I used to like these guys. That, I like these guys.
Yeah, the
Not
Circle Jerks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I got nothing else. This is like 40 minutes. Let's say fuck it. Fuck this podcast. Top tier. That's all we got. Go watch fucking Repo Man. It's a monument of the 80s and I suppose punk rock culture of the 80s. Although, like, part of me is when I watched was like, damn, why are the punk rockers fucking so shitty? These people suck. And then this guy also made Sid and Nancy, which again, we could go into the validity of the Sex Pistols career and all, but it doesn't really frame punk rockers in a great way. They're even I'm not even sure how well it portrays Sid Vicious and Nancy's deaths. You know what I mean? So. Either way, I don't care. It's a fun movie. Go watch it. Punk rockers are stupid. Anyhow, Life of a Repo Man is always interesting.
Always intense,
bro. Oh, fuck, whatever. Fucked it. I'm really high. Do you guys know that whenever I do these shows, I get really stoned beforehand?
No.
Never really heard. Like, I usually go smoke like a
this
fucking gram
news
joint.
This is me.
Infused. Straight to the dome. And then I come out here and I'm like, hey. Hey, yeah, hey, like the 311.
You guys know that Emilio Estevez was, and I was like, Emilio, and he was in 311,
and he was like with the Charlie, he's Charlie Sheen, but without the AIDS, right?
Does Charlie Sheen have HIV?
He does. Yeah, I shouldn't make fun
of
it. Yeah.
Oh my god, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was really like not a good joke.
That
was
like a big
really.
Thing back when Charlie Sheen was like.
That was when he was winning.
Hella off the rails.
Oh, yeah, that's why that the Tiger stopped. Blood era?
Yeah, that was the end of the Tiger Blood era was yep. I have HIV. Not winning or maybe won. Won the eight.
Winner,
won all
winner,
those
chicken
AIDS.
Dinner.
Well, I mean, at least he's rich enough to afford the pills, you know?
Yeah, the adrenochrome and the baby blood will totally fix
that's
all
right.
of that.
And, that's right. And Sprite. Keep him young forever, dude.
Did you guys see this shit with Alex Jones posted something on Twitter about Hitler being bad? And like
and
everybody
just attacked by
flipped
his whole...
the fuck out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like by his own people. It's just like, then, yeah, you fucking idiot.
And the conspiracies are nutso, like that the Jews started the war and like specifically just random... group of people that have completely for different cultures and live different places and speak different languages. I saw some of the clips on that and I was like, man, the people that watch Alex Jones are not good. They're
Nazis.
Deplorable.
Nazis. Shit, those are called
crazy.
Nazis.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude,
that's what we call those people when they defend, you know, the Nazis and like what the Nazis did. Like the only person that would really do that would be like a Nazi.
A Nazi, yeah.
Okay.
Well, but they're socialists, Crowder.
So
it's in the name.
If there's 9 people at a table or whatever. I forget the whole thing. But
and one of them's a Nazi, then there's 9 fucking Nazis sitting at a table. That's how that goes. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Or, you know, somebody should be leaving, like, real quick. Or, you know, right. I'm not going to make that joke. Anyway.
Nope. Fuck Nazis.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Correct.
Yep. I'm not going to do it. What was it saying? Toot toot?
Yeah. Toot toot export.
Export.
Export.